And then you go, well, I think I better spend some of my real money on buying some energy. And then you buy some energy and you go, I harvested potatoes. But now I've got no energy for harvesting the shop.
It sounds like fun. You're making it sound like a fun game.
Am I?
No, he's not.
He is.
I was just thinking, that sounds like the kind of game I hate.
Hello and welcome to the Pocket Game iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 152. I am your host, Will Wilson, and with me is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
Hello.
Hello,
how
John.
How can we only be number 152?
It's 152.
I thought we had 150, like, about a month ago.
So it was only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I wasn't here 2 weeks ago, so I wouldn't... Oh, I'm confused.
Yeah,
you were here for that one.
Was I?
Yeah.
And then we had a Matt sandwich, and now we're.
Could have been on holiday. I'm confused. I've come back. It's all changed.
Welcome to episode number 182. So 2012 iPhone 5 just been released. So should we head to the news though? Because I can link from that spurious comment.
Well, you could, but now you've just said you're going to link to it, which
it's kind a spurious of comment, was there?
Yeah, ruins the link.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't. Let's do it.
News!
Talking of iPhone 5, there's a rumor going about that Apple is going to make an iPhone 5.
No!
I know. Crazy. No.
Not going to be any more. That's it. They've done it now. 4S forever.
They've reached the peak.
Do you think it's, yes, in memoriam of Steve Jobs, they're going to stop making iPhones?
Yeah. Focus back on Macintoshes.
I told you what some of my mum's friends had said to her. She rang me up not long after Jobs had died and said that someone had told her that they couldn't possibly make the iPhone 5 because only Steve Jobs had one. And he was the only one who knew how to get into it. None of the others knew how to start the thing up. So, so someone had generally said to her that they weren't going to make any more because of that reason.
There we go.
So you heard it here first.
Yeah.
My mum told me...
Type that up, John.
My mum told me Steve Jobs had died about a week after it happened. I was like, oh, I know. I would know, though, wouldn't I? I was like, oh, yeah.
Shocked.
I should have. I should have got very emotional.
What?
No, you're kidding me. Anyway, yes, she found out recently that you can browse the World Wide Web. No, sorry, surf the World Wide Web on an iPhone.
No, you can't.
I know, crazy. iLounge has had a most reliable source.
Is this a reliable website in itself?
I don't know. No, I haven't really heard of it before.
The logo is a picture of an iPod on a sun lounger.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it? It's iLounge.
It's interesting.
Apparently their sources have told them that Apple's got a new iPhone and iPad. Although, to be fair, it goes on a little bit more than that. They say the iPad 3 is going to be 0.7 millimeters thicker than its predecessor.
I'd be pleased to hear that. That would be good for me.
That's because of two new twin light bar systems that powers the hyperdrive engine. To do the tablet's long rumored higher resolution display. And in terms of the iPhone 5, it will feature a metal aluminium casing and a 4-inch display.
Aluminum. Yeah.
You know, it's spelt differently in America as well. That's why all the Americans I spoke to and said, like, aluminium, and they went, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they got confused.
I can't say the British version, so this is one time I side with the Americans, because I literally cannot say it.
Aluminium.
I can't do it.
It's like you're saying, you know, it's like you're doing a... Say... Just say ow.
Where's that going?
I was trying to remember who sung the song Call Me Al.
Paul Simon.
Yeah, that's it. Just start with a Paul Simon song, and then go from there.
Yeah, I'm not very good. I always say Pacific when I mean specific.
Really?
Yeah. It makes me sound like a five-year-old.
Yes, so there we go. That's the latest iPhone 5 rumor. Tune in next week where we'll have another. You know, I get deja vu every time we do a rumor thing.
Yeah, but there's no date with this, is there? Is there? Summer.
Summer.
Can't use your, you know, little month jingle or whatever it was.
No, it was the beep. It was the ding. That I only deploy that when the rumors are picking up some steam, though, because at the moment they're just sort of unknown sites like iLounge are coming up with random.
I suppose it'll be iPad rumors first, won't it? Then
it should be, yeah.
It's iPad. Well, yeah, but isn't there these rumors that there's going to be those re-engineering kind of rumors, weren't there, about iPad 2 and iPhone 4S?
Mm. So.
I'd love a thicker iPad, because the one thing I don't like about iPad 2 is how thin it is.
Mm. I quite like the design of the iPad 2.
I prefer the first one. It's nice and chunky.
You know what I'm a little bit disappointed about? Is the I will. It's the it's the magic cover. I don't think that's the real name, is it?
Smart cover,
that's it. I call it the magic cover. Mm. It uses magnets, which sounds a little bit like magic.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit disappointed because I can never quite tell which way you fold it when I want to do the stand. And I haven't quite learnt. So whenever anyone goes, oh, wow, is that an iPad 2? And I'm like, yeah, it is. Wait, get this. I can put it into a stand. Hang on. it fell over. Okay.
You're still showing people the stand trick now, even though, you know, came out quite a while ago.
A few people. I was at an event the other day, Ubisoft event, and some guy... I thought you said some guy was playing on Monster Burner, and he was really excited. I was thinking, that's a good game. You seem extremely excited, though. Isn't a fellow journalist, but from a different field. And then his friend came up to him and went, you've had a go on the iPad 2 then? I was like, what? First time on an iPad 2. No wonder he's so damn excited. He's like going, oh my god, like out loud. It was to Monster Burner. I was just really confused. I thought it was just someone who found everything exciting. Then he went over to Ghost Recon. He wasn't very excited then. No. He wasn't like going, my god, I can move the mouse. Anyway, moving on. Let's move to Glue. What's Glue been up to? Glue, complete change in focus the other year, wasn't it? They switched over to the freemium.
Well, that's 2 years ago.
Other year doesn't mean last year.
2010, was it?
Well, that was last year.
Okay, all right. It's 2 years ago.
Anyway, Glue's stepped it up on the old graphical stakes for the latest freemium title, though. That's not saying anything about... Gumbros, because that was quite a nice 2D sort of looking, well, it was 3D, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. This one, they're taking on Infinity Blade in Blood and Glory.
Well, I'm not sure they're taking it on.
Well, it's got the same mechanics.
They're cribbing
it's a good headline.
Cribbing it.
Well, no, it's definitely say it's inspired by or a rip-off of, depending on...
how polite you want to be.
I don't think that screenshot looks the best, to be honest.
It looks like quite a nice game. I mean, like, graphical-wise.
No, not for me. No.
But anyway, our commentators haven't been particularly kind on it. We got a review for the Android version coming up soon, which will apply. I doubt they've changed anything for the Android version over the iOS. So do read that as well, readers. But yes, the people who played it so far in our comment section have not been kind.
There's lots of the word sucks and BS.
Funky Fly Chicken was. Was particularly annoyed.
And regurgitated BS.
Yeah. It's a freemium game, but as he points out, it does sound a bit. Actually, no. It was Mangrulon points out $11 for the second armor upgrade. It does seem a lot. So you sort of it's in-app purchase. You're in one arena. You're fighting against different gladiatorial opponents by swiping the screen and dodging enemy blows. A little bit like Super Punch Out or Infinity Blade. But it's available for free. It's quite interesting looking, though. Right. Chrono Trigger. Hooray! This is, I should make a new section, really, because I've got three stories in a row, which are all about old games returning.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Could I use a piece of music here?
Retro 8-bit.
You see, John missed last week, your special Biz Corner.
Yeah, that was good. Did you hear it on the podcast, Keith?
No.
Did it actually have a jingle?
Yes.
Oh, I must
have said that. Why did you have a Biz Corner?
I don't know. I just felt like it. Put it in.
That's good.
I don't think I could. I felt a bit bad, though, because I actually quite like the that Flight of the Conchords song I used in the end. So I might I might change it to a more generic loop rather than incur the wrath of HBO and their licensing department. I kept it under 15 seconds, but I did edit it. anyway, so yes, Chrono Trigger is out next month on iPhone. Boom.
Boom.
No one else is excited, are they?
Boom.
One of the best Japanese RPGs made of all time.
You know my feelings on RPGs.
This one may make you change your feeling.
No, make the no RPG will make me change my feeling.
I've got a feeling that Chrono Trigger is the one for you. Anyway, it's a great game. I played it. First time I played it was a few years ago on the PSP using an emulator. So I didn't play the repackaged version on the DS, and I was gripped. I think it's the first Japanese RPG I played since Final Fantasy VII, I think, or maybe VI, where I was actually couldn't pull myself away from the screen. It was so good.
What's the storyline?
Basically, you're a boy called Chrono without the H, and your best friend is this sort of goggled geeky girl. And there's a time machine is being demonstrated at the village fair, and unfortunately, due to strange circumstances, you get thrown through the time machine into the past, where the world used to be a sort of medieval times for this friend, with a frog as a knight. So it gets really good though, because then when you do certain things in that time, because one of your companions looks exactly like the princess, they mistake her as the princess, and you've got to find the real princess. Only that when you go back into the present, because you did certain things in that time, you've changed the present, so you have to go back into the past, and then you go into the future and realize there's something else going on that's been lurking throughout time. And then it's brilliant. What's really interesting is that you can complete the game at any time during the plot. I mean, there's the introduction bit, which takes about an hour or two. But after that, you could attack the final boss at any point you want. And it changes because you don't do certain things. If you attack the boss at a certain time, you won't have done certain things in the plot, which changes time to a certain way. So you get a different ending depending on when you can kill the boss. It's really clever. It's
kind of like a real life story then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically, it's just like real life.
That's Friday for me.
Everyone's fallen into a time machine at least once in there. It was out on the SNES originally. It's one of my favourite. I think it's my favourite Japanese RPG of all time. So it's coming out next month on the iPhone, and we don't have a price, but we're sure it's going to be quite expensive. But it's worth it. It's a really big RPG, and it's actually one of the few RPGs I'd recommend to someone like Keith.
Someone like me,
who doesn't like Japanese RPG. There's no random battles either. There's no grinding.
So it's the Japanese RPG for people who don't like Japanese RPGs.
And for people who like Japanese RPGs.
So it's just for everyone.
Basically, it's for everyone, yeah. It's classic. It's an absolute classic. Can't say anything bad about it. I found it amazing.
You should be on the poster. You really should. You've come up with 100 quotes they could use then.
I know I have. And then I'll be on the poster with my thumb up. Like going, hey! Thumbs up for Chrono Trigger. Yeah, it's a great game. I hope that the touch control's good. There we go. Those are my things to make sure that if the touch controls are terrible, then...
That's your get-out clause.
Yeah, that's my get-out clause. Anyway, talking of old games, coming back. Dizzy, Codemasters. Yes, Dizzy, the famous, if you're in the UK, character from the ZX Spectrum era is back.
Is anyone excited about this?
I'm not.
But it wasn't. It was published by Codemasters, but it was made by the people who are now Blitz, wasn't it? Isn't that correct? Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, also, yeah. Oh, it's the Oliver twins, not the.
I thought they set up.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought it was the people who set up Codemasters who did it.
They published it.
Oh,
the,
really?
The Darlings, no, they didn't develop
it. Okay.
The Olivers developed it.
Oh, it's the Olivers. Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway, Codemasters are bringing it back.
Well, they still have the rights, won't they?
Yeah, DNA Interactive are the developer this time around. It's the... I really don't want to do any egg puns.
Pick the wrong story.
You have to, don't you?
Okay, it's the... Well, I'm not going to do any. Anyway, it's the special HD egg edition of the...
You're not going to do any. You've just done one.
1991 Dizzy Prince of the Oak Folk. 91? So isn't the original Dizzy game then?
No.
Oh,
everyone's getting very excited about this on Twitter, at least. I saw three people tweet about it. And then I kind of thought, well... Yeah, it's an old name, so you kind of think, oh, and then you think, actually, I never liked it. So
to be fair, I thought Slightly Magic was better. Slightly Magic was awesome. Also, Treasure Island and Fancy World Dizzy were great. I think I played Prince of the Oak Folk.
I liked Dizzy in... There was a cheat in Pete Sampras Tennis on Mega Drive where you could get him to appear in... He was in a special game, so he'd walk across the net and you had to try and hit him with the ball. It was quite good.
Interesting.
Hmm. I doubt they're going to re-release that.
Fast food Dizzy was good, but that wasn't really a traditional Dizzy. You know what? I had the Dizzy collection on my Spectrum.
Yeah.
Six Spectrum, Dizzy games. It? And River Rapid, Dizzy.
Mm. I'm too young for all this.
You're older than me.
I'm 19. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. So Dizzy Prince of the Oak Folk is returning with HD graphics and what looks like quite a cumbersome control screen. all the jump buttons are on the right-hand side, and there's quite a few of them.
Sure, that's not what it says in the press release.
Oh, I know, I'm not reading the press release anymore. It probably says... really
featuring cumbersome control system.
Yeah. yes, I'm sure it won't take 20 minutes to load on the tape, because it's not on a tape. But if you're still absolutely thrilled to see Dizzy return... The problem is, the original Dizzy games for me as well, even when I was quite young... They were a bit of a battle against the controls on the keyboard as well. Anyway, you always used to roll too far, and the jumps were always... Anyway, sorry, I'm probably just ratting on Dizzy now. I feel bad. He's quite an old egg. Anyway, so it's coming out on December the 9th. So there we go. Also on the old games coming back news, Party Squad. Who played Party Squad?
No.
No one did, because it came out on the SNES only, I think, or something like that. Mm. Yeah, Amiga franchise originally. It all goes to bizarro places.
SNES.
Anyway, yeah, bloody SNES. It was scheduled for the Amiga, never came out. But I did play Putty, the original. You basically play a blob of silly putty, which you might remember from the 90s as being that thing you could stretch. And there was a game mechanic where you basically form into a puddle. An enemy would come up to you and then you'd swallow them and then you could pretend to be the enemy and use his abilities. It was quite clever at the time. I don't know if that was before Kirby started eating people. I think it was. Oh, bloody hell, that's a bit mysterious.
Carry on.
Obviously not.
I'm intrigued now. yes, colourful, cartoony graphics. Putty was a bit annoying to control on the Amiga because you only had one fire button and it really demanded about four.
I'm noticing a pattern here.
Yeah. So
not particularly great games that not many people have heard of being remade.
Well, no, I liked Putty. Putty was brilliant. It had a really surreal sense of humor.
Brilliant.
Okay. Yeah, it had Terminator Carrot, which was a carrot, but was a Terminator.
It sounds like worms.
Yeah, it's that sort of humor. It's the Amiga days, you know, carefree attitude. You know, Premier Manager, the best management game you could get. You know, back in the old days, John.
Okay, all right.
anyway, it's coming out May because it's going to come after Vita gets it.
Vita
in February. No old games. Let's go to a game which is, well, not a game, but a game service that has been removed. Big Fish. Subscription service. Did it go up on the App Store, or did it never get up?
Well, I was kind of... I'm going to start again. I don't know what went up, but I've got some information from them but that I received before it kind of got supposedly pulled. So basically what it is it's a streaming service for their games. So it's cloud. It's basically like an on live service. So it's cloud based where they're rendering it. They're rendering the game to you. They're rendering the graphics screen basically. And they said they've been testing it with Apple since the 18th of November. But it was only going to go live. Let's have a look. It opened via email invitations to a select group of external customers located in the Pacific Northwest on Tuesday the 22nd. So it wasn't available for everyone. It said lots of people tried to sign up. They didn't let everyone sign up. And they're not going to release it more widely until early 2012, and then only in the United States. But it will go not just to iOS. It also they're going to go to smartphones, tablets, PCs, and other devices that can display streaming video. So I guess for them, it's a broader play than just doing an iOS streaming service. So it may not have been that Apple pulled it. It may well have been that they decided to pull it. But at the moment, it is unclear what's happened.
Oh, dear. So I guess there's no place for a big fish in a big pot. Oh, dear.
It'll definitely happen. I can't see why it wouldn't happen. Okay. You know, it's not like they've suddenly put it up and Apple have just gone, oh, what the heck's this? Oh, we'll take it out. You know, they've been in negotiations. Big Fish are an enormous, well, not enormous, but they're a fairly substantial casual. They're the biggest kind of, I guess, like a PopCap in terms of being.
It's quite hard to. Well, PopCap have some games on there, don't they? On the PC side, I remember
on the PC side, it's different. Everyone puts games everywhere on. Don't know if you've got a big portal.
But I remember installing one of PopCap's games and it automatically put Big Fish's thing on it with me.
Cross promotion. But anyway, I guess the interesting thing is it was the subscription part of it on the App Store was interesting. But obviously someone in Apple had agreed with that, and then perhaps potentially someone in Apple now doesn't agree with it for games. So we'll see. But obviously there's gonna be more push to do that kind of those kind of services and stuff. Like, you know, we're seeing it with OnLive, and OnLive are going to do their iPad thing. I mean, that's a streaming service, not subscription in that way, but it's a service that is more obviously enjoyed by a subscription rather than a per title kind of model, isn't it? Download. So I can't see why app stores can't, you know, adapt to subscription, which is obviously we use it all for our TV or whatever, or, you know, our mobile connection, or, you know.
So moving on. This
isn't
about subscription at all. In fact, it's free because it's a marketing game. Volkswagen. Greetings.
Although that's the wrong accent.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah.
It's the Chinese one, isn't it?
It's Volkswagen China.
Oh, is it?
The publisher.
I couldn't possibly say something German in a Chinese accent. That's just stretching it too far.
That spoiled the whole intro, didn't it? Let's just pretend it is the German one.
That's what I'm here for, isn't it?
So Volkswagen China has brought fun of our games. Now, Volkswagen have come out with a Fish Labs, isn't it?
Fish Labs was developed.
Which would explain why it's got such good looking graphics.
Yes.
So their marketing game, which includes Bentley, Bugatti. I didn't know they did Bugatti. Lamborghini. I didn't know that either. Porsche. I knew they had Audi. Jeez, there's quite a lot of Are there only like three motor companies left?
I'm not sure they own all those.
Yes, they do.
I don't think they own Porsche, do they? I mean,
yeah, of course they do. There's a big fuss about it. They're all internal. Yeah. Obviously, they don't own Ferrari or Jaguar or Land Rover or.
Well, Tata owns Jaguar, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. Or Rolls Royce.
BMW owns Mini.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mercedes separate, obviously. That's all the American ones, all the Japanese ones.
Anyway.
There's a free game.
It's a free game made by Galaxy on Fire 2 and many other games. Creator Fish Labs.
Very high quality.
Very high quality looking racing game that you can get for free.
It's interesting. Because, like all these manufacturers, it's a promotional thing for them. It's not technically a racing game. You don't race against other cars, so you do time trials and that kind of thing. So, because obviously they don't necessarily want to go race you against the one you kind of... They can't obviously use other manufacturer cars. They don't necessarily... You can't race a Bugatti because it's the fastest production car in the world against a Volkswagen because that would be ridiculous. So, it's very much focused on those individual cars.
See, now, why haven't they put Skoda on there? Because they own them too. That would.
Yeah, I wonder, Keith, why do you think?
I don't know why.
I thought Skoda was a fairly respectable brand nowadays.
Yeah.
But if you get up against a £500,000...
Well, you could put a Skoda against a Scirocco, even though the Scirocco is quite good, actually.
If you want to encourage rich Chinese people to buy a car, you don't want to put a Skoda in there, do you?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Some Skodas look all right. Anyway. And they're not as bad as Ladas.
They're just VWs in different shells, but the shells are a bit ugly.
So there we go. If you want a time trial, rip around. I don't think it has realistic damage modelling or anything like that.
It does look beautiful in those screenshots.
Yeah, I know.
They have like a little garage thing where you can like customize it or like do the paint jobs on the rims and stuff, and you can actually take videos of it and put it up to YouTube.
Can you go directly to the website to order the car that you've got?
You can find dealers in your area.
Oh, okay. Damn.
That would be some in-app purchase.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Would you like to buy this car for £40,000?
I've
accidentally bought it. Wow.
Revenue would go through the roof for that app.
Yeah, it would be the top seller.
Top grossing.
It's called Sports Car Challenge, and it is out now.
You should have said that in a German accent as well.
It is called Sports Car... No, I can't do that. Sports Car Challenge.
Very hello. I like it.
Thank you. There we go. That's the news for this week. That was pretty good news.
Good news.
Now on to Biz Corner.
What's in Biz Corner? You didn't prepare me for Biz Corner.
I thought you already knew what was in Biz Corner.
I thought Biz Corner was a one-off Biz Corner.
Keith can do Biz Corner.
Yeah, I know Keith can do Biz Corner. What's going on in Biz Corner?
Develop Liverpool, Keith.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. Yeah, that was nice.
Keith was out and about.
Liverpool's lovely. I've picked up a bad throat.
Did you tell your probation officer where you're gone?
He was shackled to me, actually. So,
what happened in development? Anything interesting? Any interesting developments?
It was kind of interesting.
Do you want to explain what develop is then, Keith?
It's a conference for lots of lovely developers, and they all sit around and they talk about lots of developing things and. Some people agree, some people disagree. There was some pork at lunch, and
what? What, just like a pork walking around for lunch?
People went for a beer. Yeah, that's. It was good. It was good. If only because literally all of it was either portable or mobile. So you had the kind of a little kind of mini divide. There wasn't any fighting or anything.
I'm sure Evolution Studios said some nice things about mobile.
They did, yeah. It was good. You sit down and it was the keynote, and the keynote was Sony. So they were sat there being interviewed about Vita mainly and all the stuff. And they were talking about how that Sony had for once listened to developers, their batch of developers, and how Vita had been designed with them in mind, and how this was something of a new thing for Sony. That actually pay attention to the people who are going to make the games on it. So it was all kind of going swimmingly. And then someone, I can't remember if someone asked a question or whether it just came up, but the topic got onto mobile and what kind of effect that was perhaps having on Vita. And up until this point, they've kind of been suggesting it had. And then Matt Southern from Evolution decided to kind of suggest that cheap mobile games are pretty awful and are kind of damaging the industry. And there was a kind of audible gasp around the room as he said this, considering most of the people sat watching were mobile developers. So it's that didn't go down too well. So Sony then kind of backtracked and were saying, no, we like the competition. And it was a kind of, it reminded me very much of the kind of things that Microsoft and Sony used to say when the Wii came along, in that it was bringing new people to gaming and eventually they'd move on and they'd want something bigger and better. And it was that kind of spin was put on it, that the more people now were now coming to mobile gaming than would have been had, you know, all these apps not turned up. And at some point they'd want to switch and want something a bit meatier kind of thing, which it was quite sad, really.
But you have to remember, though, when you think of a company like Sony, or that, you know, the people who were at that conference from Sony have worked for Sony just doing console games or PSP games for, like, you know, 10 years or so. You know, you're not talking, it's not someone within Sony who has any access to this, like Sony Mobile, or, you know, it's not particularly surprising that they would say that, because they're completely not the kind of people who would play mobile games. Whereas Sony corporate or Sony VP of strategy, who has a much better idea of how the company is going to develop over the next couple of years, would have probably say something completely different. So,
oh yeah, I think it was just I think A, it was a bit of a risky thing to say considering the audience that was in front of him.
Well, no, I mean I'd known Matt for years. I mean, he's kind of happy to be controversial about that kind of stuff, you know. And he's always worked at Evolution Studios, or he used to be an academic actually when I first met him. But so he's always, you know, they've worked on massive console games. So
I think interesting. Their next game. MotorStorm RC for the Vita and PSN. That's about that really is on the border. I mean, I could imagine that being a mobile game.
Well, I mean, they all went on to say that all of the stuff for mobile, like in-app purchases and different kind of pricing structures, they were taking on board and were actively considering. He specifically said that, actually. So it was quite strange. And then there was this kind of swipe at everyone else in the room. It didn't go down well, I don't think, from the atmosphere afterwards. that was the highlight, and that was in the first kind of 20 minutes. But it was interesting. It was just very interesting because the whole thing was basically you had people like that, portable developers, and then you had everyone else mobile, and there was this kind of social idea in the middle of it and trying to get them all kind of together. Which is kind of the theme of the whole thing, really. Everyone kind of deciding that freemium is probably the way forward. Even people who you could tell didn't quite understand it were kind of now coming around to the idea that their next game will probably be freemium. So it was kind of
that's going to be another bubble. I mean, in the year's time, you go back to development, it'll be going how freemium, it's all moved on from there. Or, you know, these things just go in circles. It's quite funny. We just had a column. It's not something we commissioned, but someone who's extremely experienced in Facebook mobile games. She used to work for Playdom and PopCap, and now she's now moved to PlayForge. She just do mobile games. And she just wrote this big column saying Facebook games are an unsustainable business strategy now. So, you know, I think a year ago anyone would say that. It's kind of,
you know. Well, that's what you were saying the other week, Will, your social gaming thing, is that everyone
was
kind of saying.
That's the message I came away with from that conference. If you go over to Biz, listeners, you'll be able to read summaries from the Social Gaming Summit, and of course stories straight from Develop Conference, which Keith was talking about.
But actually, you've done a good story, Will, this week, just quickly on the Biz thing, on the Ubisoft.
Yes.
The Ubisoft guy, that was interesting as well, wasn't it?
That was interesting.
Quite heavily into it, into mobile now.
Yes, UB's strategy. They told the room of, because we were there for Digital Days, their first ever Digital Days in the UK, but they held one very recently in the US. But I think it's just the equivalent. So yes, their first real sort of demonstration that, hey guys, we're really into digital distribution now. And one of the speakers there said that they spent now 25% of all of their investments going into digital only games. Now, obviously, not all of that is going into mobiles. In fact, I'd imagine quite a small proportion of that's going into mobiles. But they were trying to highlight that they were definitely trying to go into digital in a big way. But of course, the upshot of that is that previous years have seen UB license out their franchises to Gameloft, who are not just fellow French publisher, but they're also one of the Guillemot brothers heads it, which, as you may know, two of the Guillemot brothers, is that correct? Are in charge of Ubi. So there's a personal...
Oh, well, there's five. There's five.
Yeah, I know. There's five in total, but two ahead of Ubi, one's head of Gameloft, and I think...
One's head of Guillemot Peripherals, and one's head of AMA.
Yeah. So essentially, what I'm trying to say is there's a professional as well as a personal as well as professional relationship between the two companies. Mm. So it's obvious that Game Loft were going to make stuff for Ubi, but they've started making their own games based on their big franchises on mobiles. And I spoke to one of their people, the head of the marketing for the digital thing, and he essentially, although he did skirt around the question quite cleverly, but the gist of it was that they were analysing projects on a project-to-project basis, whether they're going to bring it in-house or not, which is basically code for saying, yeah. It doesn't seem like Game Loft's going to get another look into, say, release another Assassin's Creed. Or
so I was going to say, does that mean we're going to get a Killer's Creed?
Yeah, probably they're going to have to start
that would
cloning.
Be genius, wouldn't it?
Spy Splinter or something come along next from Game Loft.
So yes, basically the gist of it is that there's not going to be another Game Loft Splinter Cell or anything like that. And it does seem like Ubi is now genuinely serious on muscling into the area that Game Loft, formerly Game Loft, was pretty much the only one out of the two that was operating in. It's not completely, because they did release Anno My City, Ubi, last year. Which I still haven't played. I'm a big Anno fan. I haven't played it. But that was about it. And then it's only really recently they've started to really ramp up. Expect to see a lot more games from them next year. Especially they're looking into freemium games. They released the Smurfs freemium game on Facebook. That was them rather than Capcom on that format.
Was it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They were demonstrating it at the event.
Ubisoft and yeah. released the Smurfs game on Facebook.
Yeah.
It must be a different one. Not Smurfs Village.
No, it's not called Smurfs Village. It's called something else, but it looks exactly like Smurfs Village. But yeah, they were demonstrating there as well.
They must have had the license from the movie then or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, I mean, they have made social games on Facebook, so expect to see a few pop up next year from Ubi. But yes, so that was quite interesting. There we go, Biz Corner. The problem is, though, I'm looking at my notes and new releases, which I have in capitals and underlined, there's nothing under it. Because
very unusual.
It is very unusual because normally what happens is that Ant scours the feeds and scours the App Store in New Zealand. We fly him over there every week. It's really expensive. And he finds all the latest looking, good looking games. And then puts into story. And then I use that story to base what new releases is going to be about. Hence why we never seem that sure about what the games are like. This week, though, there's no midweek releases story. Not because Ant was lazy. It was because there was like a handful, not even that, of decent-looking games released. It was
really? Is that the reason?
Yeah. One of the quietest weeks of the year.
It's because it's Thanksgiving, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they know everyone knows there's going to be massive sales everywhere.
Everyone knows it's going to be massive sales, and everyone's held off. I mean, that doesn't mean we didn't get any emails about new releases. It's just that quite a lot of them weren't very good.
Not very good.
So
if you've sent us an email and we haven't sent a thing, it means your game's not very good.
Well, you know, maybe that isn't the case. Maybe we're looking into it, but
no, we're not. No.
Sometimes it just takes a while to get around to emails. Stop telling them the secret. anyway, so we don't have any releases bit this week. I'm sure we probably missed some sort of gem. What should we talk about?
I thought you'd have something prepared, well, like a little speech or something.
Well, I did play a few games that are coming out on iOS later this year, including Michael Jackson: The Experience.
No.
Yeah.
Brother.
Oh, yeah. Was it bad?
Oh.
You know it.
Was it, or were you just trying to really push bad. The song
Actually,
in there?
No, it was a bit
was
of
it
a...
Is it dangerous as well?
Oh, it was a bit of a thriller. No, it was all right, actually. I quite enjoyed it. I don't think it has much depth, but it's a rhythm action game, as you could probably imagine. You swipe the screen as the icons meet in the middle. But it seemed quite fun. It's quite silly. It's also got a really spooky sort of CGI rendered, pre-rendered cutscenes, which I imagine are probably taken from the console version.
Is he in them?
Well, yeah, but they're pre-rendered versions of the music videos, so they all look a bit plasticky.
Characters. You're saying that, and now I'm thinking, are you sure it's not just him? Yeah.
No, it's pre-rendered sections from the video, music videos.
So I guess they couldn't get. It was too expensive to buy to get access to the videos in, I guess. But you think that'd be part of Sony anyway?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird, isn't it?
Maybe it's just the quality of the videos from the older ones look a bit weird or something on the screen.
Could you not stop till you got enough?
Oh, I had to stop because there's only two songs they had unlocked.
I can't think of any other songs to make.
Take a look at the man in the mirror, Keith. Come back to me. Anyway. So, yes, I played through a bit of Smooth Criminal. And a bit of Bad, in fact. It's quite fun. It was a medium difficulty. It was about my level. Although I was pretty bloody good.
Did it make you want to scream?
That's the scream part, yeah. No. It was all right. It was quite fun. I can imagine Michael Jackson fans will get something out of it. There's a freestyle dancing section as well, which is quite funny. Although it's a bit like Dance Central's freestyle, where you just do whatever you want, and then Michael Jackson pulls off moves, normally going pew, pew, like that.
With a gun?
Well, no, with his finger. Oh. Like,
oh, okay, like a gun.
Like a gun. Okay. Yeah, it was all right. As you do better, you get more backing singers appear behind you.
Oh, that's no, like not space, backing singers. Space Channel 5, dance. Isn't it?
Yeah, basically like Space Channel 5. It's quite... Anyway.
Which Michael Jackson appears in, of course, famously.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, really? Michael Jackson, yeah. That was when he was coming out of his wilderness years.
Apparently he wrote all the music in Sonic 3, didn't he? But I never know where to believe that.
He wrote the music in Sonic 3?
That's what all the fans say, yeah. No one knew who wrote the Sonic 3 and the Sonic and Knuckles movies, and then kind of like 6 months after it came out, the rumour broke that it was Michael Jackson and that he didn't want his name on it, and then it still goes on to this day. If you go on the fan site, then no one's sure, was it him, was it not? All I can say is it's bloody good music, so whoever did write it, good job.
Sonic and Knuckles?
Yeah, the music. Oh, yeah. Flying Battery, that's a classic.
Flying Battery?
Yeah. Oh, you're not a fan, are you?
No, I'm not a fan. I bought Sonic and Knuckles. I was highly disappointed.
Amazing.
It's a terrible game.
Oh, no. It's the best one. Strap that onto Sonic 3. That is Sonic at its best. It's been.
I played the first two levels on Sonic and Knuckles, and I was so bored. I thought to myself, why the hell did I pay...
You must have played Flying Battery then, because that's level 2.
I don't know what the song's called.
You must go and YouTube that music once this podcast is over.
I don't like it. I don't really like any of Sonic's music.
It's a classic
music.
Track.
I find it all a bit sort of bit sugar rushy. It's for like hyperactive 12-year-olds.
What song was that?
That was the first song in Sonic 1.
The first song in Sonic.
Do, 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 do.
Oh,
that
green. One. Oh, it's Green Hill, is it?
Be, de, be, de, be. It's basically just speed up ever so slightly, and you've got like a drugs montage.
See, I used to like the UK version because it used to play slower, and then when you'd hear the proper one on Japan or US Genesis, it would be twice as fast. So.
Yeah, but the UK one did sound like it was starting to warm up when it would very start with the and it was like come on. Anyway, I don't like that song either. I think it's rubbish. Loads of people love it. I think it's the best song in the world. They're wrong. It's Baba
best
Yetta
song in the world.
On Civilization 4. It is brilliant. Won an Emmy, I think, or Grammy. Anyway, Assassin's Creed Recollections I played as well, the card game coming
out.
Oh
yeah. What's that like?
Weird. It's a real-time card game.
What?
Yes.
You have a real-time card game?
Well, okay, there's a... In the background, you have a... It's all set in the Animus card game engine. In the background, you have like a timeline which moves forward, and then if it hits the middle of the screen, it's like meant to represent half a day. And then when it hits the other end of the screen, you know, represents day. And you gain funds every half a day to spend on new cards. And as you play a card, it takes a while for it to... It takes half a day to power up. Seems a bit pointless, because every single bit of timing is all based on half a day. So I didn't see why they can't just make half a day a turn, because you're all going to be moving at the same speed. But anyway, they decided to go for real time.
Hmm.
It's odd. I don't know. I need to play a bit more. I wonder if there's much tactics to it. You have to take over three regions, which are in front of you in the middle of the board, by playing down like characters from the games or locations from the games and building up points on those particular regions. I mean, I like the concept of it, because there's plenty of the Assassin's Creed universe to work from. I just I'm not too sure about the mechanics, but I mean, obviously I've played it for like 20 minutes, so I'd need a bit more time than that. But yes, so I'm not sure about that. Anyway, shall we move on to what we've been playing, as in properly playing? That's out now. Awesome. Let's do that.
What we've been playing!
Welcome. Who wants to go first? I don't want to go first this week.
I can go first, but I haven't played anything because I've been on holiday. Hey!
Sure, you played something on holiday.
No, I was on holiday. I wouldn't play something when I was on holiday. I wouldn't be on holiday then, would I? I'd be working.
See, listeners, this is what happens.
That's my attitude.
What do you mean that's what happens?
Games equals work.
Yeah.
I was in Istanbul. I'm not going to get around blooming playing games, am I? I'm looking at history.
Those silly games things.
Exactly.
John hates games.
So, Keith, tell me about your games.
My games. Yeah, the only time I've ever played any games today has been... Oh, today. The only time I've played this game this week has been this afternoon, literally about an hour before coming on here. So,
some mysterious noise.
That's my message tone. Leave me alone. So, yeah, so this week, today, I've been playing an endless runner game called... well, I've got to review it this week, called Sea Stars. Which is interesting.
That C stars in double E, or C is in the...
As in the water. Ocean. Yeah, well, you control a fish, so you can guess. but it's kind of Endless Runner in the same way as... what's it called? Jetpack Joyride. Right, that's it. I was thinking Rocket for some reason. It's in that kind of mold instead, but you control a fish in the water. And so every time you put your finger on the screen, he dives lower, and then as you let go, he jumps up out of the water.
Oh, you know what's going to annoy you? This actually sounds more like another game, which I can't remember the title of, which I
remember. Well, I thought I'd played
it. Pond, isn't it? Pond, wasn't it?
No, hang on.
Pond, wasn't it?
Oh, what, the recent James Pond? Yeah, that was a bit like this.
But there was another one which was better than James Pond, which I played.
That solved the mystery for me, because I was thinking, while I've played this, I've played something incredibly similar, but couldn't remember what it was. Well, it's better than that, but it's weird. I mean, it's not free, but it's built all around. It feels like it should be free, because essentially there's no loading screen. It goes straight into play, and so you have to pick up as many coins as you can and avoid jellyfish. And obviously, the longer you go, the more jellyfish are turning up, and then rockets start getting fired at you, and you have to avoid those. And there's some power-ups and stuff. But essentially, the more coins you get, you can then spend in between the levels on various bonuses. There's extra characters, I think. But there's things like that give you a shield, so you're not dead just in one touch. And there's one you have to choose it before the beginning of the level which one you want to use. There's one which fires you off, so you literally clear about 900 meters without actually doing anything, which obviously helps add to your total. But I didn't realize, see, you get more coins and you buy these bonuses. So I thought, well, okay, I've bought them, so they'll always be there. But no, in between, actually, you to use them in the game actually uses up more of your coins. So it's like a double charge. You get charged for buying them, and then charged again when you actually want to deploy them. So you kind of are constant. I mean, it's not that much of an issue, because obviously every time you play, you're picking up coins. But if you're not very good, you don't pick up that many coins. And then that means in turn that you don't have enough coins to use the bonuses that might make you good.
But so were you saying it was a free game or not?
No, it's not. I think it's 69p. I can't be sure. I think it's 69p. It kind of just seems counterintuitive to me that the thing that might make you go longer, unless you're any good in the first place, you're not going to be able to use it. Unless you keep playing and doing badly each time, just to keep knocking up coins. But yeah, I'm not entirely sure about this. It's presented nicely, and it feels a bit hand-holdy to me as well. It kind of over-explains itself. Like, for the first four times I played it, it kept putting up the instructions as to what I should be doing. You think, I've kind of got the gist of this after one go, to be honest, considering all I'm doing is holding my finger down on the screen. So, yeah, it looks nice.
Mighty Finn.
Is that what it's like, is it?
Yeah, well, it sounds a bit like that. Well, it sounds a bit more like Jetpack Joyride, to be fair. It took me that long to find the damn review. It was from June.
It's very Jetpack Joyridey because you get little bonuses as well. So there's one I've just done now where a crab picks you up and crawls you along on the bottom floor at high speed. And the longer you go, the more enemies turn up, and then it goes back to normal. It's nicely weighted in that respect. But I just feel this kind of double purchase of the bonuses is a bit of a nasty taste in your mouth, really, because you think I've got that. I shouldn't have to pay for it again, kind of thing. Although you're not paying with virtual coins, but you know what I mean? Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure about that. I've also been playing post-develop, actually, because I went to a talk by the guy who made it, Greedy Bankers versus the World on iPad, which is really, really quite good. Exactly my kind of game, to be honest. So you kind of... Yeah, it's like an old-school kind of... I don't know what you call it, puzzler, where you've got a grid full of gems, I suppose, and you drag them together to make a bigger gem, and the bigger the gem you make, the more money you earn when you tap it, and you've got to reach a total as quickly as possible. And then I'm not sure if it's in the iPhone one, but in the iPad one, you can either do it two player or you can do it against AI. And it's just really, really, really well presented. And some of the drawings and characters in it are really good. It's just like a really kind of puts a smile on your face, and it's quite addictive and stuff. So, I mean, that came out a few months ago, so it's not new, but I've been enjoying that today as well.
Do you want to know what I've been enjoying this week?
Not really well.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's the end of the podcast.
do you mean games?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Any time you could defeat the boss, by depending on...
anyway, I have been playing Extraction Project Outbreak, which is first game from Short Round Games, who are ex-AAA console developers from the UK. Four-man team, I think. Although I could be mistaken, it could be three. Yes, I've been playing that. I played it for hours. It's hours and hours, all weekend and pretty much all this week. It was a very tricky one to review, though, surprisingly, even though I really liked it. It took quite a while to review because it's quite a complicated one. Essentially, it's a top-down and slightly to the left shooter in which you guide one military guy around randomly generated mazes. Completing simple sort of missions, you get a mission objective at the start of each maze, like rescue X amount of scientists, repair X amount of guns, or kill a certain amount of people. It controls a bit like Cannon Fodder, if you've ever played that game, where instead of a mouse, instead of you taking over full control of your character, you tap to move them where you want. To shoot baddies, you drag your... This is the best bit. You drag your finger over them to make a multiple selection. But the speed at which you drag your finger over them determines how good the shot is. So it could either be a normal shot or it could be a skill shot, which does more damage. But it's cool. And then you don't need to even see them. So you walk into a room. Before you even walk into the room, you mark like five bad guys by sweeping across them. And then you walk into the room and your character's like... Wicked.
Cool.
I know, yeah. I talked about it before in the preview. That I did.
I was going to say, I thought I was going a bit mental here. I thought, I'm sure you said this before.
Yes, well, it's out now. For a special price of 69p, I think. And at that
special
price. Yeah, they were going to raise it after a bit. But yeah, I'll definitely get it for 69p. It looks great. It's really good once all of the tools and once the difficulty starts kicking up. Because then you're going to have to improvise. You're going to have to drop down like airstrikes and use your robot droid thing to take out people. It's very good. But the first hour is a bit boring. I'll be honest. Absolutely. The controls are nice. The controls will pull you through that first hour because you're still thinking to yourself, wow, these controls are really good. Why hasn't anyone else done this? But the actual challenge of the game isn't there. And then in the middle period, there's this period of about 2 or 3 hours where everything clicks. And you're like having to drop droids down just to distract people. You're dropping sentry turrets. You're like going, And you're running out of ammo all of a sudden mid-mission. You're going to have to leg it back with the scientists, just sort of with your screaming at the iPad, going, go faster! And then for the final part of the game, again, it drops back into the too easy period. Because the final light machine gun you get has got so much ammo, that, and it's really powerful, that you basically don't really need to bother with skill shots or anything like that. You just drag and kill. So, it, again, it becomes... It's a little bit too long for how many mission types it has as well. There's four. I originally wrote three in short round how to correctly pointed that out to me on Twitter. Sorry, guys. But yes, there's four mission types, but they repeat a lot. You are playing the same missions, and the maps themselves, while pretty, don't have, because they're randomly generated, feel like prefab rooms stuck together. So there's no character to them. But the actual game is great fun to play. And when everything clicks, it's a superb. It's a great game. They're bringing out an update, I've been told, which includes a hardcore mode, which sounds like exactly what it needs, plus a new few new features. So I'm guessing it's going to get better after the price goes up. So get it now while it's still cheap. That's my recommendation. I gave it a silver. It was close to a gold, but not quite. Can't give a gold when it repeats. Yeah, and I'll quickly gloss over the other game I played, which was Oregon Trail, Northwestern American Settler. It's Game Loft's freemium spin-off of the Oregon Trail.
Okay, they did someone did a Facebook version, didn't they? That didn't do very well.
Could have been Game Loft. It does feel like a Facebook game first, and then turned into a mobile game. It's a lot like Sim Social in the way it works. You get energy, and harvest times are quite low. So it's not so much about waiting for stuff to harvest. The way that aspect is there, it's about when you turn on doing lots of things at once, and then you run out of energy and you think to yourself, but I still need to harvest my potatoes. And then you go, well, I think I better spend some of my real money on buying some energy. And then you buy some energy and you go, I harvested potatoes. But now I've got no energy for harvesting the shop.
It sounds like fun. You're making it sound like a fun game.
Am I?
No, he's not.
He is.
I was just thinking, that sounds like the kind of game I hate.
So, yeah, it does that. So, actually, you know what? When there's lots of energy, I do get suckered into this type of freemium game. Not enough to spend money. I'm not, you know, not a madman.
Not stupid.
But, actually, to be fair, I say that. I did on Sim Social on Facebook.
Does that mean anyone who ever has, like, you know, potentially a huge chunk of our audience are all officially madmen?
Because I've never done it on Facebook.
I've done it on Facebook. I've done it on Sim Social, which is why this method does get me. However, there's not enough to... Unlike Sim Social throws so many missions at you, and there's so many different things you can do, that it actually, when you do run out of energy, you do actually feel to yourself like, damn it. Like, at this, I was so close to that objective. But on the Oregon Trail, it's more that you feel, damn it, I was so close to having harvested two potatoes, because that's my only mission. And then there's no buildings. There are buildings, obviously. There are buildings. You build them. But there are no unique... But after a while, after about 3 hours of gameplay, that is to say about 3 days of actual playing time, there's no buildings which make you think, my God, I really need that. Or there's no customization options which make you think, wow, that looks really cool. I really want one of those. I mean, for an example, Sim Social did like a Halloween special thing, where there was unique items and there was a mission chain, like three mission chains at once, deliberately designed to get custom items that you couldn't get any other way other than paying real money. And that's clever, because that's like long-term objectives. The Oregon Trail, it just like says, like after a while, it just ended up going, oh, could you build like four farms again? I was like, well, I could, yeah. All right, what do I do now? Could you plant another six potatoes? I was like, oh, you might as well just not bothered and just said, well, then you completed the game, because now it's going to be plant potatoes constantly. And I'll unlock a new kind of vegetable, and it'll be that one. Plant this vegetable. It's just Farmville again. It's a shame. It looks great. I don't think the view is actually that helpful for the game, though, because you do mistap quite a lot. But it looks good. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to enjoy the fact you get like 23 energy if you wait enough. So that's like a lot to do a lot of stuff. That's like 10 minutes worth of activity at time. So I imagine that's a good aspect. But in terms of like, has it managed to capture that spirit of like the good freemium social games? It's almost there. It's not quite there though. Also, it uses Gameloft Live.
Of course it does.
I know, of course it does. But although, according to a commentator, if your Facebook friends do start playing it, then it does try and find the Facebook friends who are playing, which I think is quite clever. That I did not discover that because none of my Facebook friends, none of the hundreds of friends I have on Facebook, were playing it.
What a surprise!
What a weird thing that was. The only thing it said to me about Facebook integration was, "Do you want to spam your friend's Facebook wall with stuff about how great Oregon Trail is?" I was like,
"Is that how it worded it?"
Not exactly. It's basically the same thing though. But yeah, so I thought, I presumed incorrectly to myself that you couldn't get the Facebook social list on it, but that's just bad communication on the game's part, to be honest. But yeah, no Game Center. I'd have much preferred Game Center, but obviously it's Gameloft and they don't want to do that. It's fair enough, but, you know, it's a social game. You might want to use the most popular gaming network on there.
Is that not Gameloft Live, surely?
Anyway, here we go. There we are. That was it.
We're done.
We're done. That was.
Hey, you said, "Here we go." I thought, "God, we're not going again, are we?" Realised you haven't recorded it again.
Wasn't very good last time. Let's do it again.
That was take one.
Take one. Well done, guys. Let's go for take two. Oh no, we got to sign off first for this take. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Will Wilson.
Don't do that.
What's he not doing?
Because he wants us to say, and I've been, and I'm not going to do it. It's like with the bloody two Ronnies or something.
it's only because I know it really annoys you. It seems to get you more annoyed every single time I do it as well.
I think you think I'm stupid. I'm just going to forget that I don't want to do it.
I kind of hope one day you will, and then I can go, ah! We've got a special guest on next week.
I know you said this. Who is it?
I haven't said it to the listener.
Is it someone real or someone in your head?
We've got someone real.
Oh.
Karen will not be joining us. But another person will. Long-time listeners of the podcast should recognise who it is. But I'm not going to spoil it. Hope you will stick around for that. I've been Will Wilson. That was Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And over there is John Jordan.
Hello. Oh, what's wrong with that?
And with that confusing farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.